Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Full Sail University. Full Sail offers both online and campus degree programs centered on real-world experiences in the entertainment, media, arts, and technology industries. For more information, visit fullsail.edu/AAA. And by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used Samsung, HTC, and other Android devices are worth at gazelle.com. And by lynda.com, learn what you want, when you want, with access to over 2,400 high-quality online courses, all for one low monthly price. To try it free for 7 days, visit lynda.com/allaboutandroid. That's lynda.com/allaboutandroid. Hello and welcome to another episode of All About Android, episode 164, recorded on Tuesday, June 3rd, 2014. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
Welcome back, Ron.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Good to have you at the table.
Yes, it's good to be back.
I hear that you're around for a while.
I am not. I am immobile, ironically, with my mobile device. I'm immobile. I won't be traveling at least until mid-July. So I'm here for the long haul, even when you're going to be out.
There's always that. It's just that time of year where we just have so many things going on.
It's
during
a very
summer.
Busy time of year. In fact, so much so at my day job, we were doing our 401k enrollment, and they actually had to get a special dispensation to move the enrollment period because now is such a busy time. Like, they're going to let us enroll in August.
We want you guys to keep working and not spend your spare time figuring this stuff out.
Which is very nice of them.
Might as well.
It takes a little for that retirement. Mm-hmm. It's good.
Absolutely. Hey, well, we are super stoked to welcome back to the show John Fingus, associate editor at Engadget. How's it going, John?
It's going nicely, thanks. It's nice to be back on, especially when it's halfway daylight out. Although it's kind of the sun is setting right now. So
it's not going to be much longer. Where are you located, John, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm in Ottawa, Canada, on the Eastern time zone. So, yeah, like at this point, the sun's almost completely set right now. So, yeah, it's practically nighttime already.
So the sun does appear in Canada. I thought it was always perpetually night in Canada. It was just one of those, always the Aurora Borealis.
Different
just
Canada. That's a different Canada.
I wish.
I'm not sure that I would enjoy that all the time. But anyways, we have a lot to talk about this week. We're going to be discussing Android 4.4.3, new version of Android, oh my God! Hands-free and eyes-free operation on Android coming soon, potentially. The end of Motorola's American Job Factory. Kind of a sad story there. And what it means to be swimming in a toxic hell stew. You'll know what we're talking about there here in a few minutes. Let's dive right into the news.
All right, so as Jason mentioned, with a little bit of flourish and flair, probably more than I can muster, with my head cold that I've got right now. But Google has begun the Android new version rollout of version 4.4.3. So those of you, I haven't gotten it yet, but I'm frantically hitting check for update.
Even though we know it's totally useless, but exactly. I've been doing it on my Nexus 7, Nexus 5.
Because you never know, and you don't want to
feel like... Because I feel like it's happened before.
Yeah.
I have hit it, and it did say yes, update available.
And once that happens, you're like, it could happen again, so why not? That rollout is being rolled out now to the Nexus 5, Nexus 4, and Nexus 7, and it's rolling out to the Moto X, G, and E today as well. And it's got mainly bug fixes, the ever-exciting bug fixes, including the autofocus issue on the Nexus 5, which I have run into quite a bit, as well as the battery drain issue related to the MM-Q camera-demon process that runs in the background after the camera app is closed. But also, what I'm super excited for, and I hope you're sitting down, a new dialer. Da-da-da.
New dialer. I think also a new people.
The whole kind of dialing.
I haven't seen any pictures on
which that. I hope they change that because the Nexus 5 one has been driving me crazy.
Has it?
Because I feel like it's really not intuitive. Like, because I go to
the People app?
Yeah. Well, no,
I never use the People app.
Well, no, I never use the phone app, the People app either. I go to the phone and I want to get into you have to search your contacts, but sometimes I want to scroll my contacts, but you've got to hit the hamburger button and then go to all contacts. Like, it's not really, I don't want to show my people in my life. go. Jesus, Brian. No, but it was here.
It's
here.
The hat.
Actually, I realized there's no phone numbers here, so you can show it to them. Actually, I could plug in. You could do that.
Right.
And not do my hair. There we go.
Fancy.
Yeah, so... All right, so you can see all the people in my life. But yeah, so when you go to the phone... You know, so I can see these are, you know, Kaiser Permanente called me here, you know, here are people who have called me recently and things like that. But to get, you know, so then I'm going to go, okay, well, let me go to my history. And no, that's actually got phone numbers. So I'm going to do that. And here's the dialer.
Thank you, Brian. And that was really good.
And here's the dialer. But then I got to go to, I got to hit the hamburger button and then go to all contacts. And that's when you get your phone numbers. So there you go. But anyway, yeah, so it's not very intuitive. So hopefully they fix that.
Thanks.
So.
Thanks for thank you, Brian, for attempting to save me from having to make a lot of edits in post. Thank you, Ron, for making me have to make a lot of edits in
my
post.
My pleasure. That's why I'm here.
Glad you're back, Ron.
Back on the horse. But anyway, so hopefully we'll see a big update to that as well, too. So.
John, are you on the Nexus 5 or any of the Nexus devices? And if so, have you seen the update yet?
Yeah, I do have a Nexus 5, but I haven't been able to get the update yet. Needless to say, I'm going to probably check for updates after the show is done because I want I've had battery problems. I could just like chew through battery like nobody's business. Yeah. So it'd be nice to see if 4.4.3 actually fixes that.
Yeah,
I actually ran into. Over the weekend, so I wasn't on the show last week because I was in New York for a book expo, and I'm there on the conference floor. I'm running a booth, and my phone just consistently rebooting,
really?
Over and over again. Every time I looked at it, I saw the Google icon, and then it wouldn't even get to the dots, and it was just rebooting.
Because it was hot, did you say? Or
no? I couldn't figure out why, and so then I tried plugging it in, thinking, okay, let me. You know, sometimes you get power to it, or whatever. And ultimately, what I realized was it was a physical. The power button jammed in for whatever
weird.
Reason, so I blew some compressed air to it and it hasn't had that problem since, but it hasn't been a software problem. It was a hardware problem.
Weird.
Which is weird because I thought that you have to press power and then say power off,
yeah.
But because it was jammed in, it just kept on rebooting. It wouldn't stop, and finally I got control of it. So, yeah. But interesting. Digress.
No, I mean, I've been having strange... now that we're just suddenly talking about all of our issues with our Nexus 5, I've been having issues with the headphone jack where just a regular headphone thing going into it will, like, if I plug it into my car, it'll just suddenly stop and or start just by plugging in. And
I've had headphone problems.
It didn't used to do that.
I've had headphone jack problems too, but not that, where typically it detects if there's something plugged in and will stop the audio when you unplug it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But what I've happened is that I've been in the car, I put it in the jack, I get to where I'm going, I take the phone out, I leave, I get back in the car, plug in the headphone jack, and it won't play through the headphone jack anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It'll only play through here. I have to reboot the whole phone in order to get it to work through the headphone jack again.
Yes. Yeah. I've experienced that too.
And that's new. Like, that's the thing. It's not like that's been perpetuating since the last update. That's what I don't understand.
Yeah. Does it do that on multiple apps or just the same app?
Multiple apps. I tried that. I tried Pocket Cast and Google Play Music.
Yeah, weird.
So, yeah.
But we love you, Nexus 5, even though
we do.
All that.
We do. Even if the people in Cupertino want to make fun of you. We still love you, Android.
Cupertino.
Speaking of which.
Very nice setup there. Yeah. Love it or hate it, we're going to talk about Apple. Not for very long. We've kind of discussed this ahead of time because we know a lot of people that watch this show are like, I came here to escape all the Apple talk because everybody's talking about WWDC.
But hard not to.
Love it or hate it, yesterday's presentation is relevant to Android in certain ways in the sense that Apple, more now than probably ever, has kind of opened up the gates for its developers.
Yep.
And certainly if you watch the presentation, there was a lot of kind of key new features to iOS 8 that seem pretty familiar to those of us on Android.
I felt like this is when iOS 7 rolled out. Remember last time? I was like, oh, that's familiar. Oh, that's familiar too. Like it felt. I mean,
they're all borrowing from each other at this point.
Exactly.
That's no question there. But anyway, so instead of pick it all apart and spend a whole lot of time with it, how about we each pick out just like one key thing that stood out to us? It could either be, hey, I want that. Oh, hey, we had that. Or, hey, they both have that, and Apple or Google does it better. John, let's start with you first. What did you think?
Okay, well, for me, the big deal was actually the continuity feature, basically, where if you do something on like iOS, and then you can like pick it up where you left off on your Mac, and vice versa. So, I mean, obviously, this requires that you have both a Mac and an iPhone or whatever for this to work. But it's actually pretty clever. Like, for example, if you're like if you're partway through typing an email like on your iPhone and you decide, well, screw this, I need a big keyboard, I need my computer for this, you could just go over to your computer, click a button, and then like literally pick up where you left off and finish your email a lot faster. You could also do that sort of thing for, like, say, if you're working in Pages or Keynote or something like that, and you can just like immediately pick up where you left off. That's something that's not entirely impossible to do on Android, but it's not all that convenient. Like, if you're just using like stock Android stuff, like you may go into Google Drive, like work on a document or something, and you can open it where you left off later, but you can't, it won't just be sitting there waiting for you when you switch devices. Like, you actually have to go into Google Docs and then open it, and then you'll finally get to do it. So it's this kind of seamless thing that, like, this really is something that only maybe a company like Apple could pull off, because, like, I mean, Google has Chrome OS, but it's not the same kind of thing. So it's like they can't have that kind of OS integration. Speaking of which, the other thing that's clever for Mac and iPhone integration is the ability to actually take phone calls like on your Mac if your iPhone happens to be sitting nearby. That's kind of clever.
Yeah.
You can do so, well, and text messages for that matter. You can do something like that if you've, like, say, got a Moto X and you've got Motorola Connect. Like, you can, like, check an incoming call, but you can't actually answer that call in Motorola Connect. Here, like, yeah, you can actually do a speakerphone call during the WWDC presentation. They actually they actually talked to Dr. Dre.
They had a little bit of an awkward discussion with Dr. Dre. Yeah, it was kind of one of those, like, is this going to be? Yeah, and it was kind of awkward. I mean, and you can kind of do that, like, if you're routing through Google Voice and through Hangouts, you know, you get a call coming through, and I see it on my screen all the time. Of course, I'm always at work in a live studio, so I never pick it up from there. Like, hey, how's it going? I'm talking to you on my phone. There's Leo's right there shooting a show. So I never take advantage of that. But you can kind of do that. But I understand exactly what you're saying. That's this tight integration between the OS on the laptop or the desktop and how that integrates with the OS on the phone tablet.
That's been the OS challenge. And that's what everyone's always been wondering about, when Apple's going to merge OS X to iOS, you know, because they're two separate operating systems, you know. And I feel like they're inching their way through. And it's the same, I think it's the same problem or the same challenge that Google has had. And that continuity stuff, I think, you know, John, I think you're right that, you know, Apple can do that because of the tight integration between the operating system. But I feel like the Chrome team has been laying the groundwork for this with Chrome as close as they could make it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's in so much, you know, what was it, I.O. 2 years ago with that, you know, with the simultaneous, you know, kind of on the desktop, on your phone, like all that, sort of the synchronization. So I think this is a case of Apple seeing what Google was doing and then say, okay, now let's push it and get it to, you know, differentiate it by moving it further, which is good for them.
Yeah. So Ron, what about you?
Well, I snicker and laugh. When they announced support for third-party keyboards.
Yeah,
I kind of hurled. Yeah. I kind of, you know, like, and it was kind of like, oh,
well,
yeah.
That's kind of part of why it's somewhat relevant, right? On the Android side, people who are really, you know, vehemently support Android and are vehemently, you know, against things, you know, like iOS and other platforms like that, that's been a big kind of flag to wave, right? Is that you can customize things. You can put your own keyboard on there. You don't have to jump through hoops to do it. And, I mean, iOS is starting to open it up, and largely, you know, because of the influence of more open platforms like Android. Do you feel threatened by that?
No. I don't feel threatened by it. No. I mean, it's threatened to. I mean, if anything, I know some people do. Yeah, it's just minimizing the gap between the argument, you know, or the whatever. It's getting closer to parity, which is fine. Let them, you know, like I'm happy for the folks at SwiftKey and Swipe and stuff like that. Now they've got millions of more customers.
That's
great, good for them. So you
know. They are stoked.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. So what about you? What was your takeaway from it?
Well, I liked what I saw about their widgets approach, even though it's very different, right? Yep. They're not putting the widgets into what we would consider our home screen the way we do it right now on Android. They're more kind of integrating it into the notifications pane, which, so they're kind of combining our actionable notifications, in a sense, if we're to put this into Android terms, with on-screen widgets, kind of making them similar to this, you know, one and the same.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I thought that was kind of nifty. Mm. And I think that was probably makes the most sense if they were going to go the widget route, even though Apple did say years ago that widgets, I can't remember the exact words, but They didn't think widgets were very useful, but not that this is the first time that they've gone back.
They keep
that.
Going back and forth with widgets. Yeah. I mean, because if you remember, OS X had it still has that whole pane of widgets that that nobody uses that are kind of dead in the water. And
right, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I don't know. I felt they packed a lot of the stuff into the presentation, the announcement, but I felt as if this iOS stuff was more of a point release instead of a full release. Maybe that's just me, but I felt like
the iOS aspect.
It felt like it was 7.1. The developer stuff was huge,
and that's actually another place where there's definite rollover here that might be relevant to a lot of the listeners and viewers of this show. Is that we have a lot of developers that follow this show.
Yep.
And if you're not thinking about developing for multiple platforms, then you're missing a huge opportunity. And with with the introduction of Swift, which is their new programming language, you as a developer, even if you're a gung-ho Android developer, you have an opportunity to broaden yourself and hopefully make more money for yourself if you expand into the iOS platform. And they're certainly dangling some carrots out there for you to do that. I'm not these kinds of things don't upset me. They actually make me very excited because, as we all know, competition is good, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It forces Google to up its game. The messaging features that you're talking about, John, and that tight integration and just seeing how well it can work on iOS. Of course, the proof will be in the pudding when people actually get their hands on it. But seeing that really forces Google's hand to make Hangouts better, make that integration better.
But the thing about that drives me crazy though is that all of the messaging stuff is based off of iMessage and it's moved away from the universal standard of SMS, and it further kind of walled gardens the iOS users. I can't tell you how annoying it is to be in these group text messages and getting images that don't come through or getting some messages or not all of them, like this. And I understand that's the differentiator. And well, if you want to use it, you got to be on an iPhone. Or if you want to use it, you got to be on Google. But it's like, I just want all this to talk and not have it to be a problem. It shouldn't, don't make the user suffer because they're on one operating system or not. But yeah.
But suffer the user will.
Sadly. Sadly.
All right. If you scanned forward, thank you for joining us once again. We are back to talking about only Android stuff for the most part. What's up next, Ron?
Well, we're skipping over the what you teased in the opening though, which is the keyword or the key term.
Oh dear.
You're right. I completely forgot about that.
I've heard Apple people refer to Android as a many plethora of descriptive adjectives, but toxic hell stew was a first time for me. How did you react to that?
I mean, I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was very interesting that they spent as much time as they did with the Android logo up on the screen, addressing it directly. And then, of course, what we're talking about is Adrian Kingsley Hughes of ZDNet wrote a piece back in April, I believe, called Android Fragmentation Turning Devices into a Toxic Hell Stew of Vulnerabilities, all about, fragmentation, of course, and how Google really needs to get a tight lockdown on its update process. Otherwise, it's always going to be broken. And, of course, Toxic Hell Stew sounds really good. Obviously it did because it was one of the highlights for a lot of people.
And I think that issue just shows that, with dominance in the marketplace comes that increase of those problems. And that's kind of that's kind of the reverse around it. I'm just surprised that Apple even acknowledged it existed. What I mean? Like that. And that's the thing that would never have happened under Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
And so
there were quite a few things that happened that wouldn't have happened under Steve Jobs. But
do you think Beats would have still been on Android after Steve Jobs as well, too?
I don't know. I think that remains to be seen, whether Beats will exist on Android. But by the way, Beats, Apple, they're a thing now, which means that there's an app, there's an app for on Android, which means Apple will own a music service that exists on Android, at least in the short term. So anyways, okay, for reals.
For real. Done with Apple. So a little bad news on an American legacy. Motorola Mobility is shutting down its factory in Texas. The U.S. plant will cease operation by the end of 2014. Its phones weren't selling enough to keep the lights on and to keep its 700 current employees working. That's down from several thousand at the height of it, by the way. All Moto manufacturing will now happen overseas. Motorola will continue Moto Maker under Lenovo, though no word on how that will be executed after the plant closes. So, this is rough. I mean, as long as I've been involved in computers and technology and all that sort of stuff, Motorola's been a presence. Not that they're not a presence anymore, but they've been a presence in our country. I don't know.
Well, and I mean, take a look at some of the pictures from the factory, and you see just how many people working in the factory. And, you know, that factory is going away. At its height, it had thousands of employees. Now it's, you know, down to a couple hundred. And soon to be nothing, at least in the U.S., which is just a crazy thing to happen in a short span of 8 months. John, do you think – so basically Motorola is saying Motomaker isn't necessarily going away. It's just moving overseas. If you had to guess, how do you think this affects the program going forward once Lenovo kind of owns it?
I don't think it's going to affect it too much, actually, because, I mean, I remember hearing, I mean, they've, like, expanded Motomaker availability a bit, and, like, I mean, like, you still, you know, it still arrives at your door in a relatively reasonable time, so they're going to move it overseas, I'm sure, but, like, ultimately, if you still want a bamboo phone or you want, like, you know, a pink back and a white front or something like that, you can definitely do it. So it's definitely unfortunate for, like, because it was this sort of grand experiment to prove that, like, yes, you can do smartphone manufacturing in the U.S., but, well, I think that was contingent on Motorola selling a lot more phones than they have so far. So, yeah, it's basically... kind of unfortunate, but practical reality. Yeah.
Well, and you know, the argument for manufacturing in the U.S. like this has always been, well, it just costs too much. You ship it overseas, and it doesn't cost as much. However, Motorola is the company that's been going really aggressive with their cost, with the cost of their hardware.
Yeah.
So, is it just that they kind of price themselves out of the U.S. by doing that, or it just really it doesn't matter how much it costs? Ultimately, people just didn't buy it.
I mean, I think there's also a factor that ownership has changed in the past 6 months, and now their new owners probably like what was acceptable to
everything's
under the magnifying glass, and this is what they're doing. That now they're a Chinese-based company, and this is what's going to happen. Yeah. You know, so I think it's I don't think it's as cut and dry or black and white as it could be. That, you know, who knows? Maybe under Google they would have kept it going for whatever reason. They could have subsidized it and that sort of thing.
So, probably would have.
Yeah,
at least for a few years. But
sad.
Okay, so let's move into the rumor world for just a little bit, because these are always fun. And leading up to I/O, if you've watched this show in years past, you know this is about the time where rumors start pouring out. But then I will also say I've gone back and looked at our docs in the past and gone, yeah, half that stuff didn't even materialize. So you never know. But Android Police has been doing a really great job with some great sources, and they've been kind of raiding their rumors,
I love it.
Think at least puts some pressure on the validity of those rumors. So here we go. This kind of expands on something we've talked about a little bit in last week's episode, but in weeks past, as relates to Google Search having app-specific functionality, something called Android Eyes Free, or KITT, K-I-T-T, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I know, that's great.
That's got to be trademarked, right?
It's got to be a working, you know, but not, you know, the final name for
it. That dude's still alive, that dude, Mr. Feeney. Right?
Michael.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I loved Knight Rider.
Yeah, I did, too.
Anyways, KITT allows the user to search without touching or even looking at the device, eyes free, essentially. Kind of sounds like the Moto X, actually. Yeah. And a lot of people have wanted the hands free, you know, totally like completely free of the device operational control over all Android devices after seeing what Moto X does. And it really is cool. Your Moto X is across the room. It can hear you wake it up, and it wakes up and it does the thing. Of course, Moto X kind of has built-in hardware to manage that with the X8 chip to be good on the battery. In this case, always on listening mode. It's waiting for your OK Google. Detection with screen off might actually require for your device to be plugged in at first. Battery optimizations could be made, at which time that requirement might be lifted. And I couldn't tell from the article if that meant like over a period of use eventually you have the battery capability, which would seem kind of weird, or if in due time they would roll out the capability. Also, a hand wave could be used to wake it up, which I think is kind of neat. Search results cards would be read out in full out loud, not just saying like you have a new email or you know, something alluding to that. It would actually read it in full, so you'd know the whole thing. Notifications read out loud, basically making it a no distraction operation for things like when you're in the car driving or when you're biking, that kind of stuff. There we go. When you're riding along in kit,
it's a video demonstration.
Yes, thank you. This is not real footage. Yes, I want this. John, what do you think?
I think that's going to be potentially pretty cool because, I mean, I've used the Moto X and I was completely spoiled by being able to just talk to it hands-free, not even touching it. But at the same time, being able to actually have it read out everything would be handy because, if I want getting, say, the local weather, I don't want to just find out, okay, well, the high today is going to be X degrees and cloudy. I want to find out, oh, and by the way, the low tonight is going to be so-and-so, and I want to find out what it's going to be like tomorrow maybe, so... Anything that actually gets me to keep my eyes on the road as opposed to checking my phone. What did you say again? That's going to be super handy.
Yep. Oh, I would use the heck out of this.
Oh,
that would be
me
great.
Too.
It'd be great. And then you throw in the voices and all that stuff, and it's a whole thing. It's a whole thing. So
and it's smart. It would be very smart of Google to push this out. Android Police, by the way, they give this a 9 out of 10.
All right.
So, cool. I don't know if that means that we'd see it at I.O., but they feel pretty darn strongly about it. Well, and
I'd be curious what they give this next rumor. I actually don't know. Maybe you can find that out. But another rumor that we heard, and we've heard this from a couple sources. In fact, we've already talked about it previously on the show a couple weeks ago. But it's looking more and more like Android TV is going to make its debut at Google I.O. Over at GigaOM, they were addressing this rumor that it will have the usual suspects on board at launch, like Netflix and Hulu, et cetera. Casting will be integrated, and it's going to be a focus on simplicity instead of app makers creating their own apps inside of Google TV, inside of Android TV, like they did with the Google TV. The system that Google internally calls Pano will surface content from the apps right on the front screen of Android TV in a cards-like approach as soon as you turn it on. Additionally, it's going to have a focus on gaming for the device, with games surfacing much in a similar way. And Pano, the origins of Pano is really in and around the gaming platform as well, and it looks like they're just going to leverage that to Google TV. So who knows if it's true or not? If we remember,
pretty true.
Yeah, the Verge had a couple of back in April screenshots of the Google TV. It's very similar to the cards kind of thing. Although we'll see if this turns out to be true or not. What do we think of this? Do we believe this one, John?
I'd say that's kind of where there's smoke, there's fire, basically. Obviously nothing's totally definite. I mean, they could always postpone this at the last minute, even if it is true. But, I mean, there's just so much detail about this, and it's so intricate and so complex that, I would actually be kind of surprised if they don't mention Android TV at Google I.O. So, and I'm kind of hoping to see it because, hopefully, maybe Google will actually get a TV strategy that works as opposed to, something say people who watch this show who really like Android, well, of course they'll get it, but the masses at large, well, they'll just get whatever happens to be on their TV already.
Something more consumer friendly, exactly. And you got to you're where there's smoke, there's fire. Kind of statement is probably correct, and you got to wonder. I know last time I was on the show, I was wondering where these sources come from and things like that. But when you have a product like this, that Google's talking to Netflix, they're talking to Hulu, they're talking to all of these content platforms. The chain of people involved and those sources expand from just Google to it could be someone at Netflix saying, oh yeah, there's an Android TV and we're on it.
Greater possibility of someone.
So I think this one's pretty much a lock. And I'm excited because I'm one of the people that John pointed out that I ate up the Google TV. I loved it. I still use it every day, but I'm ready and raring for the newest and greatest.
The GigaOM article is actually pretty interesting, and I encourage people to go and check it out when you have time, because it also kind of dives into a little bit of the history as far as why Google TV was one thing separate from the Android team. Yeah. Eventually it came together, but then where the Chromecast came out of that, and then why Android TV suddenly kind of emerges. And it pointed out a very interesting thing that I forgot about, at least lately, which is back at CES 2013, then Android chief Andy Rubin was showing off set-top box running Android that was capable of playing games. And we thought, we're going to hear about this at Google I.O. So it is possible that these things are planned. They ended up scrapping that last minute. And ultimately, the teams kind of came together and Android TV kind of emerged from the ashes of that. So you never truly know, but
don't believe it until they're up on stage. Until they're up on stage showing it. That's the lesson. Although I think this rumor is pretty probable.
Yeah.
But who knows?
And I want to see it.
Yeah.
there we go. All right, let's take a break and thank our first sponsor of today's episode. That is Full Sail. Full Sail is fantastic. If you've seen, you know, the popularity of mobile games, we talk about it all the time on the show. They can spread like wildfire. The mobile gaming industry has become extremely profitable. I don't need to tell you that. There's a demand out there for skilled developers, possibly you, folks who understand the needs of both gaming as well as mobile app creation. Full Sail University actually offers an online master's degree program in mobile gaming. They offer a ton of different degrees and everything. This is just one of them. This can actually teach you the coding and business knowledge needed to become a professional in this career field, which is always growing. And, I mean, it's pretty much it's what we talk about on this show week in and week out. What it's all about. In this accelerated master's program, you'll become immersed in the mobile gaming industry through a series of courses that directly relate to those in a gaming studio, including advanced programming, concept development, QA testing, deployment. You're going to create a mobile game from start to finish, and you'll present and market your product. It's the nuts and bolts. It's the beginning to end of your gaming life cycle, of your game app's life cycle. So they cover it all. Full Sail University's online and campus degree programs are centered on real-world education and experience with industry technology and workflow. Through their innovative curriculum, you can earn your master's degree in 12 months. That's all it takes. So here's what you can do. If you want to check out this degree or pretty much anything else that they have on the site, they have it all listed there. And it's kind of one of those things where as you start browsing, you start dreaming. You're like, oh, maybe I could be a game designer. They make it possible. In addition to mobile gaming, Full Sail University offers just a ton of master's degrees, business, tech fields, including the internet, marketing, business intelligence, innovation, entrepreneurship. They cover it all. Learn more about Full Sail's master's degree program in mobile gaming or any of their related programs by checking out fullsail.edu/AAA. fullsail.edu/AAA. And we thank Full Sail University for their support of All About Android. Thank you. All right.
Let's get some hardware, why don't we?
Let's do it.
Do it.
So peaceful. So peaceful. The right kind of music to talk about Tizen. So Samsung unveiled their first smartphone running Tizen, the Samsung Z. Now, don't get too excited if you're a Tizen fanatic. It's only available in Russia in Q3. So unless you want to move, it's up to you. But so the UI looks somewhat similar to Android.
Yeah, it really does.
No surprise there. And it's got reasonable specs with a 2.3 gigahertz quad-core processor, 2 gig of RAM, 4-inch HD Super AMOLED display, fingerprint sensor. So it's stacked with the specs.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like if Tizen looks like Amazon's smartphones, which will it matter to consumers what they have and what it's running? Like if they can do kind of a magic, be like, hey, like it looks
Android
the same
smartphones,
thing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's kind of what I'm wondering here is are consumers going to notice or care if
right.
the phone? And obviously this is what, Samsung's probably less, well, actually, no, maybe I shouldn't say that. I was going to say they're probably less ripping, like borrowing from Android, and they're more just borrowing from their own aesthetic on
sure.
other Android devices. There's probably a little bit of both going on there, though.
Well, because their aesthetic was based on Android devices.
Right.
So they're saying, okay,
right.
we want it to look consistent across all our devices, so we're going to bridge it and have it look like this and that sort of thing. But,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I feel like Android is somewhat known to the layperson, but is Tizen, will people even know, like, what, you know?
Well, Samsung is very known.
Well, Samsung is known, but I'm talking about...
So if people go into a store and say, hey, I want the next Samsung device, are those people maybe first-time smartphone buyers or whatever, are they going to know or even understand or even care?
Yep.
Is that even part of the discussion when the person's selling them a phone to say, oh, well, this is running Android, that's running Tizen?
Yeah.
Probably not. If Samsung had their way, probably not.
But it is when it's Android iOS.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's going to be interesting to see.
I was looking at this. I mean, this actually reminds me of when Samsung was doing Bata, if you remember Bata OS and so on, like where it's like there were some cool phones. Like I tried the original Wave, for example, and they had at least another couple of models after that. And it was like, it looked a lot like their Android stuff at the time. But I do think actually they may face an uphill battle because like, well, sure, it look on the surface, it looks like Android, and it'll probably do a lot of things just fine. But like when you find out that no, you can't get Instagram, and no, you can't get Vine or things like that, then like whoever might promptly storm back to the store and say, why did you give me this phone that doesn't run anything? So, it's no guarantee of success. Although at least it seems like it's a decent phone. So it does stand a reasonable chance.
Yeah, and it doesn't. I think a lot of people were thinking, "Oh, Tizen going to come out of the gate with really low end specs." It's actually spec'd pretty decent, pretty reasonably. It has the fingerprint scanner, which you only really saw on the S5 as far as Samsung was concerned, anyway. So
then one other little footnote to that is that the original Samsung Galaxy Gear, the SM-V700, is now being updated to Tizen. So if you were one of the suckers who bought that, you're going to get a Tizen on that soon.
Well, they said this was going to happen.
Yep.
And they meant it.
That is happening. So interesting. Tizen rolls on. So, all right.
There you go. The influence of Tizen. We'll see kind of what that turns into. What's interesting about this conversation is it could, 2 years from now, this conversation could seem so like we didn't care about like the sleeping dragon. You know what I mean? And 2 years from now, like it could work out really well for Samsung if their plan comes to fruition and suddenly they're completely off Android. I'm not saying that that's going to happen, but time has a weird way of playing games
it's
like
be,
that.
It's going to be curious.
I'm prepared for that. Yeah. I'm not counting on it.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Yep. So this isn't necessarily Android specific, but it is Motorola. And Motorola, has been very friendly to Android. And so this works with both Android and iOS. It's called the Moto Stream, and it's not an Android device specifically, but it plays very nice with Android. It's a Bluetooth adapter that connects to up to 5 devices at once and channels audio wirelessly to your speaker system.
It's cool.
Man, this sounds familiar.
And it's
there's
cool
also a heist mode for taking over when someone puts on a song that you dislike. Which again kind of sounds familiar.
Sounds very familiar. I didn't like it then, and I don't like it now.
When I was watching this and reading up on this, I was like, so this is like Nexus Q without all the cost and without the built-in amp,
and it's also about a third of the size.
Yeah. No, and it doesn't do video. Obviously, it's not quite the Nexus Q, but it's who is it? Wade County in the chat room says Nexus Q Mini. Yeah. It kind of is.
It kind of is. Yeah. This video is something, though, man.
Yeah, it's hot. The music
anyone
is
can drop a track.
Too. Yeah,
yo, not your jam. Sick. Just drop your own track. Heist it.
Oh, you've been heisted.
You set your music free. You've been heisted.
Yeah, this thing kind of came out of the blue, and like, the weird thing is that it doesn't even entirely fit Motorola's aesthetic. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
it's
all
weird.
Their phones are super curvy and sleek, and then here's this thing, which is like a dodecahedron or something.
Yes, it's really weird.
I love this.
And it's like they said, we already had this in the works or something like that. Let's just put it out there. I mean, it's cheap,
it's 50
bucks. Like probably no great pain for them to put it out.
Yeah. What's interesting, actually, now that I think about it, is how much is Chromecast?
$35.
This is 50. Yeah. Chromecast does video and music and.
But is this cross platform though?
Yeah. So this is like it's not quite the same thing. So in theory, it's more useful for audio, really.
Right? Yeah. No. Absolutely. I mean, they are two different things.
This is going to be in Best Buys and things like that. Actually,
it's going to be available at Radio Shack.
Oh, the Radio Shack. There you go. At the Shack.
Yeah, it's going to be at the Shack.
Yeah.
June 6th. So in a couple
of
days.
I'm going to drop my tracks at the Shack.
I'm going to heist my track. The Shack. There we go. I don't know. I want to see one. I'm sure we'll have it on before you buy it at some point.
Well, speaking of wacky, Computex in Taiwan gave us a couple of winners. I'm very excited for this. Asus debuted the Transformer Book 5 or V, or I guess 5. Is that Transformer Book V 5?
Yeah.
It's a 12.5-inch switchable between Windows 8.1 and Android 4.4 via a dedicated button. I am so happy they will not let this concept go.
It's a 5-in-1. Yes, they it keeps getting more and more.
It is a laptop. It is a tablet. It is a phone. It is Windows. It is Android. It is everything you've ever wanted it to be. Look at it.
Everything you ever never really knew you needed, but we can do it. So there.
It looks like a MacBook Air. It's everything you want. I love it. Why is that? Why do they continue?
Because this is just what Asus does.
I love it.
Yeah. Love it. I don't know. It's like they're trying to up the ante because, I mean, like last year, I think they had the Transformer Book Trio, which is like that was like, you know, Android tablet, like Windows tablet, and like Windows laptop. And then they're like, well, that's not enough. Let's add two more things to it. So now you can like see your Android phone. You could use it as a basically whatever platform you want and whatever configuration you want. So, I mean, it's kind of crazy. My question is this actually ever going to hit stores, or is it just going to be something that we're going to see behind a glass case?
Teased in the past with the switchable button. What was the one that got killed? I forget, back in January.
Oh, yeah.
That project. You know, it's like the idea of the switching operating systems by the switchable button. I don't know why you'd want to do that, but I guess it's just so crazy. I would be surprised if this ever actually makes it in the hands of consumers, but I love it.
And if it does, it'll be a couple of them.
And there'll be a blender attachment, and it'll do your taxes. But Asus wasn't alone there. HP showed off its Slatebook PC that runs Android. It's $399, 64 gigabyte storage, 2 gigabyte memory, 1920 by 1080 display, NVIDIA Tegra 4 with 72 graphic cores capable of 4K video.
All right.
So
Android with 4K video.
There you go. Well, I think now they're just playing specs Mad Libs.
Yeah, right.
They're like, all right, I need an operating system and a display. And
well, they considered, I guess they said that they considered going with Chrome OS, but that there was actually a higher cost of entry, you know, in doing all the things that, like, Chrome OS has certain hardware requirements.
Yep.
Whereas Android doesn't. And I don't know. The Android laptop thing just forever confuses me, too. Although, at the same time, people like the Transformer, for example. Yeah. They like to be able to dock their tablet into a keyboard and use it like that. So it's the same thing. It's just a built-in hardware unit. I just have a hard time thinking of Android as being my full-time laptop.
Right.
Although, I had a hard time thinking of Chrome OS being my full-time laptop, and now it's been a year, and I love it. So I don't know.
I can't see this doing too well, especially because, I mean, like, well, actually, I think initially they said it was $399, but I think it's actually $429. I mean, not that it's a huge difference, but it's like,
it's enough of a difference.
Yeah, but yeah, I guess it's certainly in your head, it sounds different. So it's like just like it's hard to argue for that when, like, well, I could probably get a decent Windows laptop for that, or I could get a Chromebook that will cost less. So, like, I mean, heck, HP has its own Chromebook if you want that. Like, even they just updated the Chromebook 11. So, that's going to be a lot cheaper and probably better if you just need the basics.
Right.
Plus, let's be honest, it's HP. And really, you know, like, they just keep throwing things up against the wall and nothing sticks. Sad.
In the Android world?
In general.
In general.
Yeah. Sad.
Real quick here, Android Wear, if you haven't heard, is going to be a pretty big part of I.O. coming up here. So is design, of course. With that in mind, Roman Nurek and Timothy Jordan, who are both designers and developer advocates on Android Wear team at Google, they wrote on the Android Developers blog a nice, long, and detailed post about what it's like to design apps directly for Android Wear, both of in the square and round form factors.
Oh, I love that form factor.
If you are considering development for these platforms, definitely check it out. There are plenty of UI examples, and it'll get you even more excited for what's undoubtedly to come at Google I/O. This was kind of what they were doing to kind of get prepared for all the things that they're going to show off at the show, which gets me more excited about the show because it really seem like we're going to see a lot of this stuff.
That's enormous. Look at that.
That is enormous. It really is. I wonder, is that a small wrist or a big watch? Because we've seen that watch look pretty reasonable on other people's wrists, but right there it looks huge.
Yeah, I think they choose they almost choose certain models' wrists to make it look like it's not this kind of Flava Flav style thing sitting on your wrist.
It's gonna be enormous.
Yeah, it's like this is gonna be pretty conspicuous, like certain men's watches where it's very flashy and conspicuous. So, I mean, obviously, you might not mind too much if you're getting your like all kinds of Android notifications on your watch. But yeah, it's as stylish as it looks, it's still obvious that this isn't just like some ordinary timepiece.
And dare I say, this is the first time that I've seen the Moto 360 in a picture and gone,
Yeah, exactly.
Really did look at it.
And it's funny because I literally just had this conversation. I was having a conversation on Twitter with a friend of mine, and she's an Android advocate. She's got a note and all that sort of stuff. And she referred to her wrists as bird wrists. And so, like, how well is that going to be on a female's arm? And you have a very thin wrist.
I don't know. Probably not that well.
I'm really excited about it, and now I'm scared.
I'm still excited, but that gives me a little bit of pause.
Wow. All right, well then.
Pause for my pause.
Exciting. Is there a new logo, too? Wasn't that a sub?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, right. Yeah. I completely forgot about that. Sorry, I was distracted by the large Moto 360. So the boot animation.
I love how just anticlimactic that was. In huge letters, is this Android's new logo? And then it scrolled down and it's just like
Android.
Sans serif.
There it is. Yeah, not quite sans serif, but yes, quite, Android logo has been the same forever, right? And it's been that kind of. I don't have an example. I think if you hit that that current, there's a link right at the top of that article that'll show you the current one. We've all seen it a million times. Scroll down, top of the paragraph, the current word mark. And it's tiny.
Yeah, there it is. Up in the left-hand corner. There it is.
There we go. Yeah. We've seen that a million times. So this really, has... At this point, it's been around for years and years, and of course,
it's due for an update.
This is the LG G Watch boot animation that somebody leaked out, supposedly.
You mean the Guatch?
The Guatch boot animation. It looks startlingly like a YouTube loading screen.
Yeah, interesting choice.
Whatever.
Now it's a snowstorm.
Ultimately, what does it matter? It turns into that logo at the end.
If you scroll to the upper right hand corner, Brian, there's a go right. No, right. No, right. Zoom out. Right there. See right there. Android Wear, the age of Google smartwatch begins. That doesn't look nearly as bad as that. Right. Although still that looks pretty big.
No, but that looks normal.
Yeah.
To me.
Maybe that guy just
the
has
watch
a really
face
small,
isn't as wide. If
as
not
his,
wider
as
than
a
the
shirt.
Wrist.
As right. a shirt. Yeah, there we go.
Anyways. Apparently, the size of the Moto 360 trumps Android's new logo.
It does, I'll be honest.
That's all right.
Yeah. All right.
Whatever. That's what we got.
Well, what trumps Android's new logo is thanking our sponsor, Gazelle, for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. See that? That's a pro segue.
I like what you did there.
Are you thinking about getting a new HTC One or maybe the new Samsung S5? Did you just get the new Nexus 7 tablet or Moto X? Gazelle wants to buy your used Samsung, HTC, and other Android devices. You can lock in your price today and send it to Gazelle when you get your new one because Gazelle's offer is good for 30 days. Gazelle makes selling your used gadgets fast and simple. Just go to gazelle.com, that's G-A-Z-E-L-L-E.com, and find your item. Tell Gazelle the condition. They'll even buy broken phones and tablets, so be honest. All right, get a risk-free offer for your gadgets and free shipping. And then you'll get paid fast by check, PayPal, or you'll even get an extra 5% with an Amazon gift card. Go to gazelle.com now to get an offer for your used Android or even Apple products. You get tons of benefits by working with Gazelle. You get paid in cash. Payment is fast within a few days of the item being received. It's totally risk-free. The offers are good for 30 days, giving you time to transfer your data or set up a new device. And if you're not that comfortable with doing that, Gazelle will wipe your data for free. They're totally trustworthy. They've paid more than $100 million to over 700,000 customers, and they make it super easy with free shipping. Most items qualify to get a free box, and there's a fast process, no listing hassles at all. So find out what your Android device is worth. Take a minute. Go to gazelle.com to find out. Do it now because your device may lose value every minute you wait. So make sure you do that when you're ready for a new device and get the money that your device is worth with Gazelle, and we thank them for their support.
Maybe you have an extra phone just hanging around, and you want a Guatch when it comes out.
I want a Guatch, that's for sure.
There you go.
Yeah. I totally want a Guatch.
I do have my Nexus 4 still sitting in my drawer. I should just
see.
It's in good
fund condition. Fund that Guatch.
Fund the Guatch.
All right, let's get into apps. How about it? All All right. A few quick app updates here. Android Device Manager saw an update that brings the ability to log in into a guest mode. So, you know, your device gets stolen and you want to get an Android Device Manager to locate your device with your device. Well, you can't because it was stolen. Right. So you have a friend with a device. So you use their version of Android Device Manager, log into your account, and you can remotely, you know, lock it, ring it, wipe it, locate it, whatever. And then when you're all done, you sign out and your credentials are erased. Pretty cool. Pretty neat. Cool. Although, you know, I would probably hop onto my laptop, but maybe you don't have a laptop. And I've used that to locate. I've used it in the probably common for the common reason, which is I lose it in the house and I'm like, where did I put my
phone?
Where
is it? Where is it?
And it comes in really handy. Yep. So there you go.
Cool. So the other day I was hanging out with my family and I was taking a picture of my niece and I pulled up the Google Camera app and I saw, oh, it got updated again. Yay. And I quickly, because I was trying to capture a fun moment, skipped by the little screens that tell me what had changed. So I'm very happy to hear about this now. But what was interesting is that now the camera app allows you to shoot in different aspect ratios.
Yeah.
Which is fascinating to me at least. And
it's
interesting.
Yeah.
And I blew right past it when I saw the update. Actually, if you go, Brian, if I almost called him Chad, if you go over to the Android Police article.
Don't do that. He'll throw his hat at you.
Oh, that was a close one.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't even mention, you see Chad presented at WWDC? Did you see that guy up on stage with the red hair?
I did. I did.
Anyway, so back to Google Camera. So when I pulled up my thing, all of a sudden I saw this like choose photo size. I was like, I don't know what this is, and I just quickly did it. I had to go back and take a look at it. But now you can choose the aspect ratio of the photo that you want to shoot on both front and back cameras, which is pretty cool. As well as some other little other functionality. There's a new splash screen for cropping selection. They added back the picture timer, so you got 3 and 10 second options on the picture timer, which is good. And the tiny settings icon now indicated by UI pop up on first run, which is what I missed, unfortunately, which kind of annoyed me. They've also got new panorama options with fisheye and wide angle. So a nice little update. It's nice to see that they're still rolling stuff out on this. So
neat. I love that it's broken out as its own app.
Yep.
Now, because things like this happen regularly, hopefully continue to happen regularly. And then Pocket. John, do you use Pocket?
Only a little bit, actually. Like, I only just recently got into using it, but it is a pretty nifty little app because it like makes like looking at articles you want to look at later really convenient.
Yeah, although I'm really bad at like okaying them when I'm done. So when I install Pocket on a new device, it's like syncing 256 articles. I'm like, no, I just haven't like archived them. But
well, you're one better than me. I'm really good at saving to Pocket. I'm not so good about going into Pocket to actually read them. Somebody will send me a link. I'll be like, oh, that's cool. And then,
although if you don't go in there, and the website goes away, you might lose it forever.
Right, there you go.
Which might be a reason that you want to sign up for the premium version. Mm-hmm. So this is interesting. I mean, only because we've talked about Pocket a lot, and I would definitely consider Pocket the app as one of my like must install when I first get a phone. It's like one of the first things that I do, primarily because I use it heavily for populating content for this show and for my other shows. But they now have a premium service. It's $4.99 a month.
It's pricey.
It's a little pricey, but it brings you a permanent library, which basically means the archive. They archive your content indefinitely for you. So if the site goes away,
how is that okay? Like, isn't there licensing or copyright issues or something like that? I mean, like, that's interesting.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a bit fuzzy like that. But the good news is that if you really love the idea of having an archive, well, first, if you pay per year, it's $45. So that's actually considerably more reasonable than $5 a month.
A little bit more, but still kind of, but yes.
Yeah, but I mean, like I've had this occasionally happen where it's like oh yeah, I totally remember this article, but like I'll go back to it 2 years later, and then poof, it turns out it's gone. And I mean, you can always internet archive it and see if they've got a cached version of it. But like if you want to see it the way it was when it was fresh, then this might actually work.
Yeah, I was seeing. Well, okay, so it does other things. You can search. It has a more expansive search that essentially touches all the content on a saved page, as opposed to like saving or searching titles or whatever, and then auto tagging, so you don't have to manage that organization. I don't know, $5 is a lot though. $5 a month, I guess. $44.99 a year. I'm just like, when I put myself in this situation, I'm like, I'm definitely like a Pocket heavy pocket user.
Yep.
So I'm probably the person, you know, one of the people that they're targeting this at. I don't think I'd pay $5 for this.
Yeah, $5 a month. I would pay
$5 is a lot.
I pay $4.99 a year for it.
I pay $8 a month for unlimited music through All Access. That's where it gets kind of a little confusing because you're comparing services and their prices to each other, and you're like, How does the value translate? I just don't
use it enough, and it's not like the sites I'm going to are gonna be gone. I mean, like a gadget's not going anywhere, right, John? I mean, like,
no, not as far as I know.
Phew. You know, like so. I mean, like I feel that's interesting. I feel like that's 99 cents. I would do it.
99 cents.
99 cents. 99 cents a month is enough to make me think. Okay, no, $4.99 a year, done, solid. Yeah,
right.
So
well, especially when you consider like LastPass. LastPass. Indispensable service in my, by the way.
Yep, I'm still using it.
Still using it. $1 a month. Yep. $1 a month for one of the most indispensable services. Yep. And, you know, and I use it all the time. And
I still have not fully transferred everything over. I'm just, I'm using it as I run into passwords and stuff like that. Although now that I'm home and not traveling, I might just take a weekend and do that.
If you're logged in and you sign into a new service that isn't in there yet, then add it and it's there the next time.
That's on my long list of things to do when I have free time is
just add to it over time.
You know what I also, going back to that, is I also want to go through my bank statement for a month and identify all my little, I'm paying $7.99 a month for this and it's $4.99 a month for that.
Oh, man, you're paying so many incremental monthly
fees. I bet you I'm bleeding. I bet you I'm bleeding a lot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's kind of the thing right now, right? Is, hey, here's a neat little service. It only costs $2 a month.
Oh,
that all adds up.
They almost get, T-Mobile almost got me because T-Mobile with their, I'm going to rant a little here for a second.
All right.
But I get a message in visible voicemail from T-Mobile. Here we go. I'm going to plug it in.
Yeah. Yeah, plug that in.
Look at this. So I get this message from T-Mobile in my visible voicemail, right? Which says, we are delighted to give you an opportunity to try our voicemail to text service at no cost for 30 days. No subscription required. Now you can read your messages right here instead of listening to them. At the end of the trial period, the service will automatically terminate and no charges will be applied unless you subscribe to the paid service. You can subscribe at any time to the trial at, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so great. Cool. That's cool. I go to that. Subscribe to voicemail and text. I accept the $3.99 a month subscription.
Once the trial is over.
So they're going to charge me $4 a month for what Google Voice does for free. Mm-hmm. Can you believe that?
Oh, yeah, I believe it.
Yeah. I did. If you notice, I did not accept. So
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a smart move.
Yep. So,
you know, and if you do, set yourself a reminder.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But now, but I'm going to do an audit of all my stuff. And
that stuff adds up.
Yeah. So, all right.
I suppose they got to make money somehow.
So we got an email, and actually, Jason, I'm going to ask your help because
you want me to read it?
Well, no, I can read it. I just don't know the app he's referring to in the email. So I don't know if that was in the subject or not.
Oh, let me dig.
Yeah, dig into that.
Oh, it was Do Not Disturb.
Okay, so Mike writes in talking about Do Not Disturb, which was in the arena a couple of weeks ago, right?
A little
while ago. And he says, I just wanted to share my experience with this app and the developer. I bought the app after listening to All About Android 162. I'm always in meetings, and silencing my phone is very important, especially when I'm doing a demo and or speaking. First off, this app works as expected. I was very pleased that it actually set my phone to vibrate during meetings. That's good. Other apps have not worked as well or consistently. Second, I emailed the developer asking about two features, and within an hour, he responded with suggestions and added one of my feature requests to his to-do list. Within 1 week, he had added my ignore keyword feature and set me up with a beta version to test. Basically, I wanted a feature to ignore certain keywords like travel or drive, so D&D, Do Not Disturb, would not set my phone to vibrate while I'm traveling. 1 day with the beta version, and so far it's working as expected. Just thought it was worth sharing that this is a solid app with a great developer. An app is only as good as its developer, and having a developer that is responsive and willing to take feedback is very important. Thanks for the app suggestions and love the show. That's a great little story.
Yeah.
Look at that. That's the community working.
Yeah, okay. That's exactly how it's supposed to work.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree.
Well done, Do Not Disturb.
Thanks for sending that in, Mike. You know, we talk about a lot of apps on the show, and it's really great to know when developers are that responsive. And you can actually, often you can see how responsive they are when you go to the Play Store now that they can reply to comments. And, you know, it's always nice to go in and just take a look at those comments to see, are they communicating with people that install their apps? Do they care? Because some people, they just put an app out there and they're hands off at that point. Other developers are very involved They put up answers that might relate to you, even though they answer the specific question. It's very handy, and it gives you an idea as far as how involved that developer is.
And honestly, it's great to hear those kind of stories. So if you're out there and you have similar stories or similar interactions, let us know, because we'll definitely highlight that and kind of virtually high-five the developer. So good job. Yay.
Exactly. So thanks for doing that, Mike. If you want to send us your whatever, send us whatever. AAA at twit.tv.
Let's limit whatever
maybe apply some sort of rules
material.
Of which I can't. Yes, yeah. There we go.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, thank you for that. Okay, let's thank our last sponsor for today's episode. That would be Lynda. Lynda.com helps you learn and keep up to date with your software. You pick up brand new skills, explore new hobbies, whether easy to follow video tutorials, whether you want to create a graceful user experience for your website, if you want to build interactive web applications or design your website with Photoshop, Lynda.com offers thousands of video courses in a variety of topics. Lynda.com, there are hundreds of courses on web design and development. You can learn everything from web fundamentals, mobile development, to creating a responsive web design, which is really important in this day and age. Everybody's focusing on that right now, and you're kind of behind the curve if you aren't. Focus on user experience. All that stuff is covered with the courses on Lynda. Interested in creating an app for multiple platforms? Lynda.com created a playlist for building a cross-platform mobile app, and that's available now at lynda.com/allaboutandroid, and that's lynda.com/allaboutandroid. You can learn the latest tips, real-world techniques, best practices, all for, for their courses in Photoshop. They just make it really easy to learn. Personally, I've been using it very lately, actually, as relates to this show, because we're transitioning to Adobe Premiere, and All About Android is my first show to transition over, so it's kind of my learning curve. And, it's been a little bit of a rough go when you're so used to one platform and you move to another one, and you're like, okay, I know all the quick keys and the shortcuts and the kind of the approach in this one, and I know this other one is great because a lot of people use it, but how do I do it? How do I learn to be better in Adobe Premiere? And Lynda just has a ton of courses that show you those secrets, show you those shortcuts to using Adobe Premiere and all Adobe products, actually. Pretty much everything that Adobe puts out, you're going to find just a plethora of tutorials there. So great resource. Over 2,400 courses with more added weekly. All Lynda.com courses are produced at the highest quality, not like the homemade videos that you're going to find on YouTube. You might find some helpful stuff there, but this is all super curated, super organized, and really well planned and thought out and just professionally produced. They work with software companies to provide you updated training the same day new versions hit the market, so you'll always have the very latest skills. At Lynda.com, the instructors are accomplished professionals. They're at the top of their fields and passionate about teaching. And you see it in the videos. They're just super engaged with giving you the right information. It's very easy to kind of get pulled into their world and follow along. They make it super, super easy to kind of connect with what they're teaching you. Courses for all experience levels, beginner, intermediate, advanced. You can watch from your computer, tablet, your mobile device. If you have 15 minutes or 15 hours, each course is actually structured so you can learn from start to finish. You can search the transcripts and find quick answers, or you can even read along with the video as it's playing. Lynda.com also offers certificates of completion when you complete a course, which you can publish to your LinkedIn profile, which is great if you're a professional in the field. So you should check it out. It's only $25 a month for access to the entire Lynda.com course library. Or for $37.50 a month, you can subscribe to the premium plan, which includes exercise files that let you follow along with the instructors. You're actually using the same project assets that they do in the video. So you want to get a closer look, turn something off, turn it back on again, see what happens. You can do that. You have the project assets to do that with. And you can try Lynda.com right now with a 7-day trial for free. Visit lynda.com/allaboutandroid to access the entire library. That's over 2,000 courses, all for free for 7 days. That's lynda.com/allaboutandroid. And we thank Lynda for their continued support of the show. Thank you, guys. All right, let's hop into the Android arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena!
Boom goes the dynamite. All right, so I'm the only returning
You are, so you're the
battler.
Winner. You're the winner.
I suppose so. Although
you're
I'm
the winner.
Not the winner, but
well,
that's
you
okay.
Can't, you can't, you're the second place winner.
It appears Gina won last
Shocking.
Week with up two. Mine was second. That was Samsung Power Sleep, letting your phone do work while you're sleeping. Pretty cool.
I voted for that one.
And then, oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that. And then Square Order came in third with 13%.
Important to note, thanks to Wade County, that the arena stats through week 21 of 2014 are... our guests have got 4 wins. Jason's got 4 wins. I've got 6 wins, and Gina's got 7.
Dang, Gina!
I didn't realize I was doing so well.
Yeah, second place.
Yeah, there you go. And by
Gina's
one,
Gina's on
we'll
a
see.
Tear right now.
Yeah, well, she's not here this week, so she can't win.
Yeah, if you win, you're tied with her.
Yeah, I know. There you
I'm
go.
Still, at
and
four.
I got a good feeling.
And John, you are on a team along with all of our other guests. Battling for supremacy, so you know the pressure's on a little bit. But I think
I'll try to do them proud.
I think you'll handle yourself great. Well, I'm the only returning guy, so how about I go first? Pressure's on me.
Winner.
And there we go. Chicken dinner. my app is called AC Display. So if you want, so this is kind of an interesting approach, right? The Moto X has this their notification active notification feature. It'll turn on just a portion of the screen and show your notifications as they come in. It's actually really handy. My wife has a Moto X, and it's one of the main features that I just really love about it. Yep. You can glance down at your phone, and if there's a notification, it'll kind of pop up and kind of give you insight onto it. Well, AC Display attempts to do the same thing for non-Moto X phones, and it's kind of a cool approach. Now, one thing I'm wondering, Brian, is we have this plugged in through the SlimPort adapter, but it does require my display to go off and then back on. So I'm not sure if this is going to actually work now that I think about it.
Well, we can show your screen.
We can show my screen right now, and I'll hop into the app to kind of show you the app right off the top. So when my lock screen appears, that the time and then the notifications underneath it that you see right up here, well, actually, I can kind of show you the interaction right now. This is what happens, right? Just this stuff right here appears on my lock screen when a notification comes in. And that'll flash on for 10 seconds. And these dots right here, those kind of count down to the center. And it'll, you know, essentially my screen will stay on and show me what notifications have come in. So if I just received an email, this would appear. I could click on that and pop up here, and it would show me what the email notification actually was. If I wanted to launch into it, I could swipe up and into it, and it would launch into my email and go right to it. Pretty cool stuff. You do, I believe it does require KitKat because it's doing some advanced kind of notifications, tapping into an advanced notification setting within KitKat. So keep that in mind. But it's just really well designed. So let's see if I can send a test notification. I have a feeling once it blanks out the screen, video is going to go away for you. And then
you turn to the desk.
And then it's going to come on. So this is what I see, right? So I can kind of hover over any of these, right?
That's cool.
And if I want to launch into it, let's say I want to go into the Twitter app.
Actually I see it.
Through. Yeah, it took a couple of seconds, I'm sure, to refresh for you. Yeah. I go up here. I can do actions, right? So I could reply to this immediately from my notification lock screen. Or I could retweet or whatever. But ultimately, I could just swipe up to that, and it would launch right into Twitter. Or I can just swipe anywhere and it would unlock entirely and send me to whatever app I happened to be in before it blanked out. Really handy. And I've been using it. My fear was that it would be a drain on some battery, and I haven't really noticed that.
How long have you been using it for?
I've been using it for 5 days now.
Oh, you would have noticed it by now then. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but in general, my Nexus 5 battery has not been nearly as good as it was when I first got it. Right. So it's hard to know whether it's this or something else. But, you know, other reviews say that it doesn't really have a huge impact on battery as well. Pretty cool stuff. I'm actually really liking it. The developer does ask for help with the translation to different languages. So you can actually help the developer do that, which is kind of nifty.
What language is that?
I know. That's kind of weird. My laptop's not showing. Yeah, I'm not sure what that is. That's got to be a little glitchy thing. No one else can see this, of course. You can set a blacklist if you don't want something. And that's really handy. So I run Lux for my screen, managing my screen brightness. And in order, you know, in KitKat, constant notification needs to be there if an app's running all the time. And Lux, in order for it to work, it needs to be running all the time. And so I'm getting a call. So refuse that. And so, you know, if I got a notification every time Lux, you know, appeared, then my screen would be coming on at times that it didn't need to. And I'm sure there are a million different ways that you can think about this with other apps. Well, you can put it on a blacklist so that it skips over it, so that it actually refuses to turn on when that notification comes up. Low priority notifications, you can kind of set the level of priority on them as well. Very cool stuff. Well designed. And I'm actually really liking it. It's become really handy. It's just nice to kind of feel like I'm getting that active notification functionality that I miss on the Moto X when I see my wife use it.
It's cool.
So there you go. It's called AC Display. One word, AC Display. And it is free with donations through the app with an in-app purchase. So there you go. Oh, I see. We're actually, with your donation, you're specifying what the developer is going to do with the money.
That's cool. I like that idea.
$99 buys the developer a sound system.
The right pillow.
Oh, $20, the right pillow. Okay. $1, an ice cream. Huh. There you go. All right. So there you go. AC Display. That is my app. John, you want to go next?
Sure.
I don't think I got the update, unfortunately. I'll check while you're going.
I just checked too.
Yeah, it's a bit finicky, but don't worry. I mean, in a sense, like explaining it will probably do wonders here.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So my app pick is actually a rather old one. I guess like it's Instagram, but there's a good reason for that. Because they just put out a big update that's rolling out to Android and iOS today. I guess the problem with Instagram has long been that there's basically been two types of people. There's been the people who they just use it for the social element. They're they slap up any old photo they put, they maybe put on a filter and then that's it. And then there's the people who spend seemingly half an hour tweaking their photo before they actually post it online. Like their photos look way better than everybody else's. And Instagram kind of saw that and said, well, shouldn't we give these people some control so that they actually can do that sort of editing in Instagram? So that's what Instagram 6.0 is all about. So if you do get the update, what you actually see is you can not only tweak the levels of a filter, so you can say punch it up or tone it down, but you can also make a whole bunch of basic editing things. You can edit brightness, contrast, saturation, highlights, shadows, things like that. So basically, if your photo isn't quite right, you can actually get it to look, you know, better without having to go to a third party app to do it. So suddenly Instagram goes from this quick little, oh, just snap a photo, post it, a tool to something no, if you actually use this a lot for whatever reason, say you're a celebrity and you've just got to make your photos look their best, well, you can actually use it that way. You can use it as a semi-professional editing tool. So that's actually pretty cool. And it's good to see that it's on it's not on Windows Phone yet, but it's on Android and iOS and all that at the same time. So good on Instagram for putting out a pretty meaningful update. So yeah, so that's why I'm picking Instagram.
It's interesting because you see these controls and everything and you're I'm amazed that Instagram didn't have this stuff before.
Yeah, I know. It's
but it makes perfect sense. I mean, they're, you know, especially now that Instagram is a Facebook property and Facebook kind of considers Instagram its camera app, which it very definitely is. It's not just this app that applies filters, you know, to random photos and, you know, that you take with a social aspect anymore. It's many people use this as their camera app. This kind of ensures that continues.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool stuff.
Very good. That is Instagram. Maybe you've heard of it.
Maybe.
But hey, meaningful update. There
you
go.
That's a big update. That's pretty cool. So, all right. What so my app, I'm on the game side of the fence this week because I'll tell you a little story before Brian pulls up my app and reveals it. I was, I was in New York and I was this past Sunday, I was playing with my nieces and I said, what do you want to do? And they said, let's play Disney Infinity. We have that for our Wii. And I'm like, oh, that's great. And they're like, yeah, we can't figure it out. And so they asked me, the nerdy Uncle Ronald, to help them figure out Disney Infinity.
Wait a minute. Do they call you Uncle Ronald?
They do, actually. So,
I didn't even realize that Ronald was good. Yeah, I can call you Ronald.
That's my actual birth name. Yeah,
I did
Ronald.
Not know
yeah,
this.
There you go. Anyway,
I'm gonna remember this.
So Disney Infinity is this open-ended kind of world that you can use different characters with and stuff like that. And it was fun, but I couldn't make heads or tails of it. And I was literally playing it for an hour with them. And clearly it says you can do certain things, and I couldn't figure out how to do them and stuff like that. And I'm not alone, because I looked on the forums and other people are complaining. Apparently, because the Wii is an older gen system, some aspects of it are locked and not that you need a Wii U and all that sort of stuff. So it's not because I'm old and whatever. But that said, I was very frustrated. So I was on the Twitter and I'm going, trying to figure out Disney Infinity and blah, blah, blah. This is, I'm a 37-year-old person who's been playing games for 30 years. I should be able to figure this out. I was like, it's times like this. I wish I could just go play Karateka. And then I said, wait a minute. Is Karateka on Android? Could I? And so I go to the Google Play Store and I look, and sure enough, the classic... Karateka is not only available for Android, but it is awesome. All right, so don't even worry. I'm going to show you. Don't ruin the screenshots. I'm going to show you the game. All right, so do you see my screen there, Brian, on the new fancy slim port?
I guess I could show that.
All right, so a big aspect of it, it's going to go horizontal. Does that?
No, that should be fine.
Okay. A big aspect of it is the audio, so we all need to listen. Because now, if you were like me, and you were around in 1985 playing Karateka on your Apple IIe or your Apple IIc.
Or Commodore 64.
You're gonna remember what this is like. So I'm going to launch that, right? All right, I'm going to restart.
Oh, excellent.
It has the drive loading noises.
You got to be kidding me. Broderbund. Oh, man.
Looks like you got to turn, rotate it.
Okay, hold on. There we go.
There we go. Thank you. So it is an exact port.
With scan lines and everything.
All right. So I'm going to skip this because we know this. So basically.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Do you hear the loading? So this was the first game by Gordon Metchner, who's most famous for the Prince of Persia series.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, when I used to play this on my Apple II Plus, I used the IJKLM keys, The interface now on Android is actually way more intuitive. You can change your stance from running to fighting. And when you do that, that unlocks the different modes. All right. And you can move left and right. Right, and you can go back into that, and you can bow, or you can run. And so the whole idea for you youngins, I need to bow at this dude. And then the whole idea for your youngins is that your girl is captured in this little mountain, and the evil Atuma is holding her, and so you've got to fight with karate all these dudes to get to her.
With karate.
All right.
Oh, this is great. This is such a blast for my past.
And the thing is that there's no lag. They got everything perfect, right? So I go back to here and I run. I go through the gate. And then they're going to find out I'm there. And so they're going to... Yep.
They're going to wave you away. Go away.
Now, for you 12-year-olds out there who didn't play this game 20 years ago, it's important to know that when you get to the guy, you need to be in the fighting stance. Because if he kicks you and you're not in the fighting stance, you instantly die. So I got to be careful because I tend to run a little too fast. So there you go. A lot of running. So there we go. So he's going to show up right there.
The mountain never moves. So don't expect that mountain in the background to move.
So this has already given me hours of enjoyment on the plane, on BART, on all the stuff where I'm fighting my way through. And this is how you do an old classic retro port. I don't know how they did it. I don't know if it's legit. It's 99 cents, and I would have gladly spent $4.99 for this.
Yep, this is legit, and that was the great thing. I think I've played this on the iPhone before, but either way, it's like it. Totally harkens back to this era, like when I was a kid, and little things like being able to simulate a monochrome display like that disc loading sound. It's like, oh man, I remember like computers were so much worse.
Oh, they were so bad.
Yeah, so it's like,
but they were so good.
It adds charm to it. So much charm to it.
Yep.
Oh,
so
man.
There you go, Karateka Classic, complete with disc drive loading noises and everything.
That is just. That is awesome.
Yep. And
I'm in love with an app. Yep. That's just amazing.
So now...
Oh, no. Right. right at the end.
But
there.
If it didn't crash, it would.
Oh, you can just resume. Thank you.
I want to get to the.
Oh, that was good.
There we go. Oh, it always it wasn't crashing before. Anyway, you can change in the settings. You can change it to a monochrome monitor or an amber monitor or whatever. Right. Yeah. So.
Oh, that's so cool, man.
Yeah. So cool.
That is so cool. This. I realize that emulation works.
Yep.
But. Porting I love that they're porting porting some of these old classics to Android. And can I just make a request?
Sure.
For one that, man, I would totally pay $5, if not more, because I just want it. And it's Electronic Arts, so it's probably never going to happen.
Summer Games?
No. Summer Games
California
is cool.
Games?
No. Lords of Conquest.
Oh, I remember Lords of Conquest.
And honestly, Lords of Conquest would be the best turn-based Android cloud game.
Yeah.
Like, it would be, oh, man.
You should find out who has the rights to that.
It's absolutely perfect for it. I don't know who has the rights for it. I would do it in emulation, but I just don't think it would do it justice. Like, it needs a true Android port. So, somebody out there, do it. Lords of Conquest, look it up. Fantastic game. Yep. But that's not to take anything away from Karateka.
I could go off for hours about the 80s games that I want ported.
More of them need to happen. And there's a lot of them now. Yeah. You can go searching. You can find a lot of really good ones. And they're sometimes, you know, it's obvious that they're playing the retro card and, you know, hey, pay $4 for this. And
I want to thank Down.
You're going to play it for 20 minutes and be satisfied. But
no, this I've literally played for hours already. Yes. This is and I want to thank Downclimb in the chat room for pointing out that this game is, in fact, 30 years old. And now I'm going to go jump off the Bay Bridge.
No, well, just take your phone with you so you can play on the way down.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So there you go. Karateka. You called it Karateka. Some reason, I always call it
Karateka.
I always called it Karateka.
It's Karateka. It's like Japanese, like. Like, I think Karate Warrior is what it means or something like that. So
I had a feeling that I was always mispronouncing it, but it's so ingrained in me, Karateka,
now,
that
I will be honest that playing Karateka then led me to want to play the original Prince of Persia, which was very similar to Karateka, but had more. You could jump and there's stuff, and there was sword fighting. It was not evolution. On Android.
Right.
There is a version of
Prince of Persia.
Prince of Persia classic, but it's not the old DOS version. That's what I want, where the dude is.
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah, see, a little blast from the past.
There we go.
And thing was, if it wasn't ported so well and wasn't so smooth, and what got me was the disc loading noises.
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
Oh, that was just like, if you knew the sounds, that 5 1/4 inch drive, that external 5 1/4 inch drive, that old Apple IIe drive.
Totally. It just takes you back. Yeah. We're old dudes, apparently.
Old.
So there you go. Great arena, if I do say so myself. AC display, Instagram, Karateka, classic. There we go. You can make your voice be heard. Tell us which is your favorite of the three that we covered today. AAAPoll.com/164. AAAPoll.com/164. Results are, you know, I'm going to go back, actually. I'm going to vote for Karateka because I normally don't vote.
You're voting for Karateka? Wow.
I'm voting for Karateka because that just took me back to a world that is long forgotten.
I'm telling you, Gina's going down. AC display is pretty good. And the Instagram, it's hard to argue Instagram. It's going to be interesting to see how it goes.
Instagram.
Yeah.
There we go. We'll see where this lands. And thank you guys for bringing your A game into the arena this week.
That's why we're here.
Cool stuff. John, just thank you for coming back. It was great to have you back. It had been a while, and it's always a great time when we have you on the show.
Glad to be back. It's been too long, so it'd be great to do this again.
Absolutely, Will. This is your chance to tell people where they can find your work, anything you're working on, whatever you like.
Okay. Well, you can pretty much find a lot of what I'm writing at Engadget.com. I post prolifically. So
you're a madman, by the way. You write a ton of stuff every single day.
Yeah, I know. It's like people joke that I'm competing for a record, but like I don't know if I'll hit that. But it's nice to pretend I'm at least trying for a record.
Yes,
so.
It's a good reputation to have, actually, if you're a writer and you're prolific. So they can do good work. Excellent. So that's Engadget, and then you're on Twitter at John Fingus.
Yep.
Excellent, sir. Thank you. We'll have you back soon. Appreciate it. And then Ron.
And then there was Ron.
What you been busy with?
I've been busy with the comic books over at Image Comics, imagecomics.com, where you can check out all the great comics that we got coming out every week. Another great week of books. And I was out in New York hawking them to the Book Expo world and telling everybody about them. If you want more of me, you can go to about.me/RonXO and you can see my Twitter and my Google+ and Facebook and Instagram and all that fun stuff. The World According to Ron.
Boom.
Thanks, Uncle Ronald.
What?
Nothing. Uncle Ronald.
Check your logo. Oh. Thanks for showing us that old video game.
Ron. What about you, Brian?
Cousin Brian. Well, you can find me doing know-how on Thursdays, or if it's crazy like today, I'm doing one in just a little bit right over there. For two of them for pre-record. So, and you can follow my crazy weekend shenanigans if you go to Google+, Brian Burnett. And this weekend I went for a ride, so really enjoyed mowing the grass this weekend.
You know you could cut your foot off
I by almost doing
that? I saw that, and that was crazy.
That's why I wore the gear.
Yeah. Well, will your gear protect your foot from
being cut off?
You
weren't actually riding that, were you?
That's the only way you can cut grass.
Oh, jeez.
If it's a Honda. Yeah, see, like that. So, yeah, you can...
You need to go door to door in that outfit and be like, can I mow your lawn?
There were a few people that drove by and...
Google Plus just reminded me. Can you pull up my Google Plus? So last week I wasn't on the show because I was flying to New York for BEA, but I snuck into the U.S. versus Azerbaijan soccer game where I took a photo that was very relevant to All About Android's interests of a gentleman at the game taking a photo with his tablet.
Oh, yes, I saw this picture.
Yes, so right down there on the left. Yeah, there you go. So
it is.
Man at soccer game taking photo with tablet.
So, it happens.
Yep. And he was trying really hard. That was not the first attempt.
That's going to work. Is it an iPad?
No, I don't think it was an iPad, actually. Okay. I think it was an Android tablet.
Okay. Yeah,
so. He shames us.
Yeah.
What about you, Jason?
Thank you for that, Uncle Ronald. You can find me at about.me/JasonHowell. Musical Exploits, yellowgoldmusic.com, as you're seeing on the screen. Thank you for doing that.
So good.
But I do have something else that's totally relevant to this show.
Right.
And that is that on Friday I released episode 0 of Android App Arena, which is the new show. So first and foremost,
it's the same letters.
I know.
That's a problem.
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird, but it was the right name. So we were like, yeah, we'll just go for it.
Yep.
So it's Android App Arena. It's not replacing the arena and All About Android. They're actually two different things. Oh, man, this is, yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
We oh, wow. Can we
Android
get this?
No.
This is kind of, I want this.
There
Whoa,
we go.
So, look at that.
So anyways, it's going to be okay, now I can't talk because I hear my, no, that's okay.
Whoa, it's Jason Inception there. It was Jason inside of Jason. It was,
you can see it's like a dream sequence. Go to twit.tv/arena and you can subscribe to it. It's also on YouTube. There's a YouTube channel for Android App Arena. Basically, every Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific, there's going to be a live recording where I'm going to play. It's kind of like i5 in the sense that a lot of the actual demos and app walkthroughs and stuff are pre-recorded and pre-edited. But it's going to be a live kind of viewing party, so I'm going to be on set. We'll talk for a little bit about the apps, play the stuff. If I have a developer interview, come back out live, talk to the developer for a little bit so everybody that's in the chat room can kind of be involved with that as well, and then kind of finish up the show. So it's going to be a little different. We're going to see how it goes. It's all a beta at this point.
Okay.
But I'm really looking forward to it. That's Fridays, 1 p.m. Pacific, live.twit.tv, and then it'll post later in the afternoon.
I just really like the old timey sequence you did for this.
Oh, well done. Thank you. It's total found footage. It's actual. That actually happened.
Nice. Are you 8-cake?
Mm-hmm.
Might I suggest a name change?
No. I think it's kind of set in stone at this point.
I'm being so confused now when I say AAA.
AAA, as far as I'm concerned, this is AAA.
Yeah.
And it always has been, and it will be. That's Arena.
All right, there you go. That works. Yeah,
so,
Arena.
There we go.
That's good. So.
So looking forward to that. Check it out. twit.tv/arena starts next Friday the 13th. Get it Friday.
Ooh, there you go. That's a good start day. Ha-cha-cha-cha.
All right. That's it for this week. You can leave us a voicemail at 347-SHOW-AAA. You can send us an email at AAA@twit.tv. Send us a link to a video. It becomes a video mail. Got a video mail, but the link didn't go anywhere. So maybe double check it. Then I can actually play it. Twitter, we are at Android Show. We're on Reddit. TwitAAA.reddit.com. We're also on Google Plus, of course. There's a community there as well as an account, so just search for it. Show notes, past episodes can be found at twit.tv/AAA, as well as YouTube and iTunes. And you can catch us live every Tuesday, 5 p.m. Pacific, live.twit.tv. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. You, us.